Hour number two. Hope you are having a good one. The 49ers at home, the Raiders on the road. I want your lock of the week and your upset of the week. I want to talk more about the 49ers game. If you're a fan of the San Francisco 49ers, all right, if you cannot beat the Dallas Cowboys without their starting quarterback, their best receiver, and I firmly believe that Dez Bryant will not play, with their offensive line dinged up, then you're never going to beat the Dallas Cowboys. All right? No more excuses. The 49ers are playing a team that is not very good defensively, that, again, will not have, in all likelihood, Dez Bryant on the field. All you got to do is stop the run. The 49ers should be able to do that. I underline should be able to do that. If you are not going to win this game on Sunday, who are you going to beat? If you are not going to beat the Dallas Cowboys with all of their injuries, then name me a team on your schedule the rest of the way where you're going to come out victorious. I don't see it. The 49ers could not have the table set any better than this Sunday. It is tailor-made for them to win a game against the Dallas Cowboys. Raiders, meanwhile, I'm not that impressed with Baltimore. I'm really not. I think the Raiders will be able to score in that defense. But I would also say this. Baltimore is a better team than Tennessee, and they barely beat Tennessee. It is on the road for the third time in four games. That is the part that would concern me a little bit as it relates to the Raiders trying to beat the Baltimore Ravens. But I want your lock of the week. I want your upset of the week. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's get to Mitch calling from New Jersey. What's up, Mitch? I hear you got a lot of rain in the forecast this week, and I'm wondering how they're going to get all these baseball games in. How are you?
How you doing, Grant? Thanks for the call. I can't take it. It's like it's been like this. It's been an incredible season, and we have this till like Monday night. It's like another 3 days.
Yeah. No, I know.
It's like a monsoon. I can't imagine 4 days of rain. I will go. I'm gonna go crazy.
Come out to California. There's no clouds in the sky.
But it's always something. And I guess I'm the half glass, half empty guy.
I hear you.
I try to make it quick. I know I had 3 points. I'm a Clipper fan. I hear you call the Kings. It seems like they have a lot in common besides being not originating from their current cities. I'm glad the Kings were able to stay in Sacramento. I wish they could bring, if they're not going to give a new stadium for the Raiders or the A's, maybe they can bring them over there. But I know I'm going too far here. You think the Kings will kind of make inroads? I mean, they keep drafting. I know somebody brought up the Sixers, and I hate this tanking bit, and I hate the ping pong balls. They have to scrap that system.
I agree. I think the lottery system's terrible in the NBA. I think it's awful, but they got the worst luck. I mean, here we are. You get the number one pick in the draft, and Ben Simmons already breaks his foot. I mean, that's brutal.
And an Embiid, you know what you get with him.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Wow. Unbelievable. But you think the Kings and the Clippers, they just keep the picking plays that just never materialize.
Well, I can't compare the Kings and the Clippers right now. You know, the Clippers are an upper echelon team in the NBA and have been for the last several years. I can't now compare the Clippers to the Kings.
But with my Clippers, I don't think they're always going to be sick of banana. They should get their own state and maybe go back to San Diego. But I don't think with Oklahoma and Golden State being the way they are and
why would the Clippers? Well, wait a minute now. The Clippers sell out every single game at the Staples Center. Why should they go back to San Diego?
They
sell out every game they play. Matter of fact, there are more people at the Clipper games now than there are at the Laker games in terms of no-shows. The Clippers sell out every single game.
They're exciting. They make a little bad trade. I didn't realize that. It's just being sick of banana to the Lakers. Maybe maybe down in L.A. they're more like fair weather fans.
Well, here's the deal. The Clippers have been underachievers when the playoffs start. They haven't made it out of the second round, and yet a lot of people feel they've had more than second-round talent. But, I put a lot of that on Chris Paul. I don't think he plays well in the biggest of games. And I if he's as good as everyone says, to me, I want to see him play like a superstar in the biggest games in the playoffs. And there are too many times where I don't see that.
Yeah, and he gets hurt.
Yep.
Carson, mentioned by Carson Palmer.
Yep.
I think I don't think he's washed up, and I think if he has a good year this year, I think you got to consider him for Hall of Fame.
No, he's no chance of being in the Hall of Fame. He won't even get a vote. Carson Palmer, he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. He won't be in the Hall of Fame. First of all, he's 38, so it's not like he's going to be playing that much longer. Carson Palmer in the Hall of Fame, come on. There's no chance. Zero chance. Like, not even one chance. John, you're on with Grant Napier. Hi, John.
Hi, Grant. Just wanted to talk about the baseball situation with the Cardinals.
Yes.
You know, it really, really upsets me that they didn't figure that out before they finished it. You know?
Well, the rule needs to be changed. The rule is the issue there. The rule should change at the end of games, and I blame the manager for the Reds and Price for not immediately calling for a replay, because that's just common protocol at the end of games in situations like that. None of the umpires saw the ball go over the fence. None of the players on the Cincinnati Reds saw the ball or knew the ball went over the fence. And the replay system is at the end of a game, the challenge has to be made immediately, and that did not occur.
But why didn't the umpire challenge it himself?
They're not allowed to. They're not allowed to. Their umpires are not allowed to call for a replay.
They don't want to get it right.
No, it has nothing to do with that. They are not allowed under the rules of baseball. They cannot. Okay, but that's a different conversation altogether. They have to follow the rules. They don't have the ability to call for a replay. That's not in their domain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, let's get to Eric on the Grant Napier Show. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Grant. This is not a Kevin Johnson joke, but, man, you got a big pie in your face today, Grant, after that thing yesterday you did, talking about how you love the human elements and how it's part of the game and we can't get rid of that. You know, this is a prime example of how humans make mistakes, ruin things. One of these days, and we're going to have self-driving cars. I just think this was another reason to show that having all the umpires do all this was not right. And I was a huge San Francisco Giants fan my whole life. I really hope it doesn't come down to whether they have to go to St. Louis to play an extra game or miss out on the
Well, first of all, who's to say that St. Louis – first of all, we don't know whether St. Louis would have won the game or not anyway. I mean, you can't just assume they would have lost the game.
The Kings won the series already in game six.
Again, Eric – You know, baseball could fix this really quickly, Eric. All they got to do is put a rule in is that all end-of-game plays are automatically reviewed. That would take care of the problem.
Yeah. A week ago, you went to the NBA broadcast.
And Major League Baseball.
Did you go to the Major League Baseball meetings, too?
I went to the Major League Baseball Replay Center on Monday, 2 days before I went to the NBA Replay Center.
I'll believe you more on what I know, but I'm saying is that you know that rules, when there are new rules put in and change, it has to go in the effect for the next season. They can't obviously.
I understand that. I understand that. Yes.
Baseball institute these new rules like that. It's almost never happened.
I understand that. I'm not. They're not going to change the rule this year.
What's that?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, so it's gonna screw the Giants out of it. But again, the human element.
It's not gonna screw the Giants out of it. First of all, you know what? Here's the deal, Eric. If the Giants can't beat the LA Dodgers, who have nothing to play for, they don't deserve to be in the playoffs. And here's the other deal: they're a game up on the Cardinals. It's not like they're a game behind the Cardinals. They're a game up on the Cardinals.
That goes to your game six thing, Grant. You can't just say, "Oh, well, you never know what they have to control their own destiny." Yeah, they do. But if they lose by a game and it comes down to this weird thing, that's not fair. So,
again, Eric, who's to say that the Cardinals wouldn't have won the game anyway? You don't know that.
Nobody does, but it's not fair to end the game automatically just because we end the game.
Well, then you know what? Call up Major League Baseball and ask them to change the rules, because that's an issue with Major League Baseball at the end of the game. That's the rule. Now, what are you going to do about it? That's the rule of the game.
Fans and broadcasters that don't want to move into the technological age and add things that fix the sport.
I didn't say that I don't want the game to be advanced in that situation. I'm okay if in baseball all end-of-the-game plays are reviewed. I'd be okay with that. I'm okay with that. That doesn't bother me.
Grant, lastly, I have a question for you. I saw the replay actually today. I didn't see it yesterday. Doesn't St. Louis need to fix that wall?
Yes.
It's like a wall where it's like halfway up as a home run.
It's awful.
It's a very strange-looking wall there.
Eric, how bad is it? I'll tell you how bad it is. The four umpires could not see the ball bounce over the fence against the wall, and neither could any of the players on the Cincinnati Reds. You see any of the players on the Reds out there demanding for a replay? Did you see any of the Reds arguing? No, they weren't arguing because they didn't see it either.
No, there's no yellow line. Every
I know. It's awful.
There's no yellow line.
Awful.
In St. Louis.
It's terrible. It's awful.
It's a weird-looking wall. That's what they need to fix. I want them to change the rule in Major League Baseball and fix that damn fence.
Yep.
I don't know what the hell that was.
No, it's awful. Well, think about it. The guys that are being paid to watch it didn't see it. The four umpires, and not one player in the outfield saw it. How could the left fielder, how could the center fielder, how on earth can you not see that? I'll tell you why. Because of the design of the stadium. And as far as the Giants fans, you know what? I don't want to hear from the Giants fans about whining and complaining, all right? You know, come on now. You can't beat the San Diego Padres. Come on. You can't beat the Padres. You have no right to be complaining about anything. Period. I mean, if the Giants, first of all, I think the Giants are going to get in because the Dodgers have nothing to play for this weekend. But if the Giants don't make the playoffs, they're not going to be blaming what happened last night at Busch Stadium. I can tell you that. Not happening. If the Giants get in, they'll be on the road in all likelihood. They'll be playing in New York. And in all likelihood, it will be Madison Bumgarner against Syndergaard. That will be the pitching matchups. But I'll tell you right now, the weather on the East Coast is awful. They started the game in New York against the Orioles. They just took the tarp off the field in Boston. They're going to do everything in their power to play these games in bad conditions. I mean, it is, you should see the scene at Yankee Stadium right now. I mean, it is raining. It is miserable. There are not many people at the game. I have not yet seen the a wide shot of Fenway because the game has not started yet. But the weather is terrible. And I got to tell you, that is the last thing baseball needs, because here's the deal. If Cleveland has a chance to get home field or the Tigers have a chance to make the wild card after Sunday, they have to go to Detroit on Monday afternoon to finish that game. If you have a tie, which you could very well have in the American League wild card, this is going, and you have rainouts this weekend, oh my goodness. Now, I doubt you're going to have rainouts, and if you do, you have to play a doubleheader. But the weather is awful right now. I mean, there are puddles. I mean, I'm not kidding you. The weather in New York is absolutely miserable right now, and they're playing the game. Miserable. Now, you look at the wild card in the American League. You have Toronto and Baltimore with 72 losses, Detroit with 73, and Seattle with 74. I'm telling you, if Detroit ends up tied with Toronto and Baltimore, they're going to have a nightmare on their hands because they're going to have to finish their game with the Indians on Monday and then see what happens. All right, let's get to William. Hello, William.
Hey, what's up?
What's happening?
So, yeah, you're 100% right. I'm going to the game Sunday. And if they not only should win that game, but the other thing, if they get blown out somehow, somebody's head's got to roll for that on the defensive coaching.
If they get blown out like they did against Seattle, then you're 100% correct. Something is drastically wrong with that franchise. You're absolutely right.
Because people can say what they want about the talent, but they have some talent on defense.
Yes,
and
yes.
The offensive line is playing good.
Yeah.
Robert's not getting sacked or hammered. And if they get tore up even by 14 points, something's wrong.
They should flat out win the game. I mean, let's just call it the way it is. With the Cowboys' offensive line the way it is, without Dez Bryant, and I believe he won't play, with a rookie quarterback and with a defense that's not very good, let's just call it the way it is. The 49ers should win this game on Sunday.
Well, I'll say another thing. This team is super young. People don't realize the Niners. They're one of the youngest teams again. And they may surprise people and actually hammer Dallas because they're at home.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far.
But a young team, sometimes they play that way. They're horrible on the road, and then they get at home, and it's like, what happened? Why doesn't this team play that way on the road? So I wouldn't be surprised if they won by 17.
Well, if you're a 49ers fan, you take a one-point victory, all right?
Yeah, they better win.
All right.
Come on.
All right, take it easy.
It won't be hot again. We're all going to die out in the.
That's right. It's supposed to. Isn't it supposed to rain on Sunday?
Yeah, it might.
It might.
It won't. You know, too hot, so people can't go to the game.
Oh my gosh! I don't even get me started on that. Please, don't even get me started on that. But yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Good. Have a good time and call me on. Call me on Monday because I would love to. Yeah. I would love to hear what your thoughts are after the game because if they do lose, this team may not win a game the rest of the year.
Yeah, I will call you, win or lose.
Yeah. All right. So I guess the forecast actually for Santa Clara on Sunday is not bad. Partly cloudy, high of 66. So that's not bad.
No, at least it's not 75. We might all die.
Take it easy, William. That is hilarious. 339-1140. Somebody said, Grant, Syndergaard is scheduled for Sunday. I know he's scheduled for Sunday. I'm letting you know that he's not going to pitch Sunday. That's my feeling, okay? I understand what you said. I don't think he'll pitch on Sunday. I think they're going to hold him for the wild card game. All right? But, yes, I am aware he's scheduled, but I don't think he will pitch. There's been a lot of debate. I've been listening to all of it on the sports talk scene in New York, and the prevailing thought is that he will not pitch on Sunday, unless they absolutely have to win to make the playoffs. I personally feel the Mets coming down to Sunday would rather play in San Francisco with Syndergaard on the mound than play at home without Syndergaard on the hill. So to me, you know, they got to have Syndergaard pitching. You know, I would not feel very comfortable with Bartolo Colon on the hill. That's just my feeling. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We got a lot of things to talk about, and there's so many things going on right now. This is such a great time of year. The start of basketball season, we got the baseball final weekend. Boy, huge college games, including Washington and Stanford tonight up in Seattle. Huge college games tomorrow. Full NFL Sunday, Giants, Dodgers. It's a great weekend. Give me your thoughts for your lock of the week and your upset of the week at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. And the schedule got off to a start last night. Boy, how bad are the Dolphins, huh? They lose 22-7. We know about the Raiders playing early in Baltimore, the other early games, Indianapolis and Jacksonville. We will have that game for you. If you are bored out of your freaking mind, all right, and if you are on the road at 6:30 in the morning on Sunday, all right, maybe you get kicked out of the house, maybe you have to go and bring the donuts back, whatever the case may be, all right, if you're up at 6:30 in the morning and you are absolutely bored out of your freaking mind, all right, like you are so bored, all right, that you just have to hear sports, tune in to Sports 1140 KHDK because we have the game of the year at 6:30 in the morning on Sunday. That's right. Indianapolis and Jacksonville from London. All right? Think about that. 6:30 in the morning. Right here on your home of the NFL. Sports 1140 KHDK. Somebody wants to know what my lock of the week is. My lock of the week is I will not watch one snap of that game. That's my lock of the week. Tennessee at Houston. Washington at home against Cleveland. Seattle at New York. Buffalo is at New England. Atlanta home to Carolina. Detroit is at Chicago. Tampa hosts Denver. The Rams are in Arizona. Saints and Chargers from San Diego. We just talked about the Dallas-San Francisco game. Kansas City is at Pittsburgh and New York is at Minnesota. All right? I want your lock of the week. I want your upset of the week. Somebody said, Grant, my lock of the week is the Patriots over the Bills, and my upset of the week is the Jets over the Seahawks. Aren't the Jets favored? I got to look at the line there. I don't think that would be an upset. You know? Somebody says, is there a more disrespected team at 2-1 than the Cowboys? It's not that they're disrespected. It's they got a lot of injuries. I don't think they're being disrespected. You know, I think if you take Dez Bryant off the field and you have some injuries in the offensive line, the defense is not very good. So, you know, to me, I don't think they're being disrespected at all. I really don't. All right, give me your thoughts. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. My lock of the week is Washington at home against Cleveland. That would be my lock of the week. I think Washington will do enough to win at home against Cleveland. So I'll put that as my lock of the week. My upset of the week, I'll have to come up with a good upset of the week. Don't have one yet, but I'll come up with one. I'll come up with one. Give me your thoughts on your upset of the week, your lock of the week in the National Football League. And don't forget about college football tonight, Washington and Stanford. But, boy, how about the games tomorrow, right? Led by Louisville at Clemson. And, of course, Wisconsin at Michigan. A couple of real good games. You got in the SEC, Tennessee is at Georgia. Number 11 at number 25. This is a good weekend of college football. And, again, tonight, a dandy with Washington against Stanford. Number 10 against number 7. The Washington Huskies, Jake Browning, the second-year quarterback out of Folsom High School. All right, somebody said the lock of the week is the Raiders over Baltimore. My upset is being kicked out of the house and forced to watch the game in London. That would make you upset. That would make upset. No doubt about it. That would be brutal, actually. Seriously, what a terrible game for London. Jacksonville and Indianapolis. But don't worry, because the NFL, they got many other games in London this year. They're going to take the game out of the United States of America and bring it over to London, England. That's right. That's right. Not just one, not two, not three, but four. And as Peter King of Sports Illustrated and Monday Morning Quarterback told me, pretty soon it's going to be eight games a year over in London. Let me tell you something. You think the English Premier League is going to start playing eight games a year over here in the United States? Really? Let's see. Now, why would they not do that? I'll tell you why they wouldn't do that, because it makes no freaking sense. The same reason why the NFL shouldn't be playing that many games over in London, because it makes no damn sense. And here's the other deal. The fans in America don't want to see their teams go play in London. It makes no sense. Don't talk to me about the money. The NFL is a multi-billion dollar business. All right, are they really getting extra money because they're going to play in London? Hell no. People say, well, gee, they sell the game out in 10 minutes. Well, guess what? They sell the games out in 5 minutes over here. All right? You think anybody is really excited about getting up and watching Jacksonville play Indianapolis? Stop it. Wait till you see how bad the ratings are on CBS for this game. No one's going to watch that game. Terrible. All right, we'll come right back. We're going to talk more about the game between the Raiders and the Ravens. We're going to look at this game from the Ravens' point of view. Coming up next, we'll talk with Sarah Ellison from BaltimoreRavens.com, the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, the Raiders currently making their way across country to take on the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are 3-0, but it has not been a thing of beauty. Certainly offensively, they've been struggling, the inability to run the ball. Defensively, they get Doomerville back this Sunday, and that should help them even to make their defense that much better. Sarah Ellison from BaltimoreRavens.com joining us here on the Grant Napier Show. Sarah, thanks for coming on. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
You know what? I'm doing well. I'm looking at the Ravens, and I don't have a good read on this team just based on who they played and their scores. So let's talk about this team offensively first. What are some of the issues you see after three games?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I think everybody kind of agrees. It's kind of the Ravens are still a big question mark for everybody despite a 3-0 win. And the Raiders, to people out here, present the opportunity to get some answers to questions that they've had. So in terms of offensively, it's not a huge surprise that they haven't clicked right off the bat. Joe Flacco missed most of the offseason, came back in the training camp, but, you know, had the ACL. Then most of his targets weren't around. Steve Smith was coming back from an Achilles. Mike Wallace is new to the team. Dennis Pitta hadn't been playing. Breshad Perriman hadn't been playing. And so obviously it takes time for the passing game to kind of all get into sync. Based off of the Raiders' passing defense so far this season, it seems like it's an opportunity for the Ravens to finally put it all together, because there's certainly weapons there. It might be the most weapons Joe Flacco's really ever had.
And it's hard to believe, but Oakland is 1-18 in its last 19 games in the Eastern time zone. And, of course, this is 10 a.m. Pacific. All right, let's talk about this Ravens defense, because that is a bright spot, and they do get Elvis Doomerville back. How much will he help this defense?
You know, I'm not expecting too much. I mean, I imagine it's going to be a little bit like Terrell Suggs, who, you know, was also coming off of an Achilles tear, and it took him about three games. This last week is when it looked like he returned to his former self, where he was really making an impact, especially in key parts of the game. So my guess is Dumervil was already kind of, even when he's healthy, he's on a rotation, especially coming in on passing downs. My guess is that they'll start him somewhat light, but he's going to need a little bit of time to knock the rust off also. I mean, he didn't practice all training camp, none of the preseason. But the hope is that he can jump right in, but I wouldn't say that it's, you know, a big difference-making point for this week anyway.
All right, I want to talk about the first-round pick, Ronnie Stanley, who is up in the air about whether he'll play. Last thing I saw is that Coach Harbaugh said he still has not ruled him out for Sunday. What's your gut feeling on that?
It doesn't look good. Stanley has been injured for the last couple weeks, and he's been on the injury report, but he's at some point practiced during the week. He was spotted by reporters wearing a walking boot, but only for Thursday. They didn't see it on him on Friday. Ronnie Stanley takes a lot of pride. He brings up frequently that he never missed a game in his collegiate career at Notre Dame. The Ravens have had problems with the left tackle position, Eugene Monroe. It's one of the reasons why they drafted a left tackle. Eugene Monroe always seemed to be on the sideline more than he was on the field. So the fact that he didn't practice doesn't bode well, but I do give him a chance because Stanley does have so much pride, and he frequently says, it's going to take a lot for me to sit out.
You know, when I look at this Baltimore team, 3-0, and the schedule, you know, their big games in the division still are, you know, ahead of them, including, you know, two games with Pittsburgh that start after their bye week. When you look at what's happened early in Cincinnati winning last night, but is Pittsburgh or Cincinnati, in your opinion, the chief, foe right now for Baltimore? I mean, we know about Baltimore and Pittsburgh and the best rivalry in the NFL for years, but in terms of competition, in terms of the team that you think is the biggest threat to Baltimore, would you pick Pittsburgh or would you pick Cincinnati?
I would have said Pittsburgh before they laid an egg against Philadelphia, but you know, of course, Philadelphia is undefeated. Also, I'm gonna say that it's Cincinnati right now, only because Cincinnati has had the Ravens number for a couple years now. The Ravens, for whatever reason, have had a hard time beating Cincinnati, and I think it's something crazy like the Ravens have finished their week 17 in Cincinnati for something crazy like five of the last 6 years.
That's unbelievable.
And Pittsburgh, I don't know what it is. It just seems like those two teams always play each other super tight. Even in a losing year last year, the Ravens beat them twice. So I would say until the Ravens can prove they can beat Cincinnati, I would say they're the biggest threat.
So, you know, just to summarize here, with this game for Baltimore, and again, the schedule's the schedule. They don't make the schedule. They just go out and play it. But we might get a better indication of how good this Baltimore team is. I don't want to make the Raiders seem like, you know, they're the best team in the AFC, but they're definitely an up-and-coming team. And the one thing I think we can agree on, this will be the best offensive team that the Ravens have played in the early part of the season, right? So it's going to be interesting. That part, I think we're going to – that's an interesting part of this game to me.
Yeah, without question. I mean, I would definitely – because like you said, I don't know that you'd put the Raiders up, you know, with the absolute best of them, but absolutely a respected up-and-coming team. And last year, David Carr just lit the Ravens up, for like 438 yards?
Yep.
So this is an opportunity here because everybody's, you know, the Ravens' defense is ranked number two so far in the league, and then so everybody can keep pointing to who they played. So this is the chance to find out if the Ravens defense is for real. And the one thing that you can say about the Ravens, that's even though it's been, you know, ugly wins, is last year they kept losing these types of games. They lost nine games by one score or less. Nine. And so this year, while it's been close, at least they've flipped the script. And these games that they've won this year, they would have lost last year. So that's you want to give them credit. But now the schedule gods have been great to them, you know, just great. It's been a good way to ease into the season. And I think the Raiders represent taking, you know, a step up, maybe a couple steps up from who they've played right now. So I think it's going to answer a lot of questions. And maybe for the Raiders, too. I mean, if the Raiders can score on the number two ranked defense, then that gives legitimacy to them, too.
Final question for you. At the running back position, is Terrence West close to being the guy over Justin Forsett? Neither have looked good, but what's your thought there?
My thought is everybody's waiting for the rookie Kenneth Dixon to come back.
Wow.
To see – well, I mean, and that's crazy to say, right? He's a fourth-rounder,
sure.
But he looked the best during preseason and training camp. Joe Flacco, who everybody knows, he's Joe Cool. He doesn't really – say too much. He unprompted was raved about Kenneth Dixon. I don't think Justin Forsett or Terrence West has really broken out. So I think what's going to happen is I don't think that Kenneth is going to play this week, but my bet is he'll come back after the Raiders. And I think the Ravens are very curious to see what he can do in an actual regular season game. And so in the meantime, I think it's just going to be splitting carries between Forsett and West. And then if somebody has a hot hand and nobody has yet, then they'll feed him the rock more. But so far, it's been pretty much 50-50.
Sarah, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much for the time.
Hey, not a problem.
Sarah Ellison, BaltimoreRavens.com. And with that said, we'll get you to the break right here, the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, we are with you right up through 6:30, Grant Napier, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Still looking for the upset of the week, the lock of the week. Got some great college games we're going to talk about a little bit later. Baseball, as they are playing in the Northeast despite the weather. So that's good news. The last thing baseball needs right now, you know, are games that are going to be postponed. That would be a disaster. Philadelphia's got an early lead on the Mets, 1-0 there. The Cardinals game against the Pirates will not start for another 20 minutes. I'll keep you up to date on that score. American League wild card, Toronto-Boston scoreless, bottom first. Detroit has gone up on Atlanta 3-0 in the top of the first. They've gone to the third in New York, no score, Orioles and Yankees. So if you want to talk about baseball, you got the Giants and Dodgers tonight. And certainly you're talking about a Dodgers team that I can't imagine. I cannot imagine Dave Roberts keeping his guys in very long, particularly his starting pitchers. I just can't. You got Rich Hill going tonight against Madison Bumgarner. And again, I don't see it happening. Now, the question to me for the Giants, are they going to be able to score enough? And that's what I would wonder. Now, Kershaw is going to go tomorrow. He has not allowed an earned run in his past three starts. Now, he has not thrown more than, I think I read, he has not thrown more than 91 pitches in any of those starts. So it's going to be very interesting to see how long Dave Roberts keeps him in the game tomorrow, because he's already announced that Clayton Kershaw is throwing game one, obviously. I mean, why wouldn't you? So I don't know how many pitches we can expect for Clayton Kershaw, but I can't imagine that they're going to extend him too much. That would surprise me. That would surprise me. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm picking the Raiders to win on Sunday, and I'll tell you why I'm picking them to win. I think that they'll be able to score on the Baltimore defense, and the Baltimore offensive line, they're making a lot of changes because of Stanley, who's probably not going to play at left tackle. I think that's going to help the Raiders get a pass rush. I don't think the Ravens are going to score a lot. I think the Raiders are going to win this game. I think it's going to be close. But I'm when I do my picks, I'm just telling you right now, I'm picking the Raiders. I'm picking the Raiders to win this week against Baltimore. I think they're a better team. I think they've got a good chance of going to 3-1. You know, the time zone thing is a little alarming, but that's because the Raiders also have stunk for all those years, so that's factoring into it. I just like them this week. I think they're a better team than the Baltimore Ravens right now. And again, you know what? Yes, I can't ignore the fact that they're 1-19 in their, or 1-18 in their last 19 games in the East. I can't ignore that. All right? That's jumps right out at you. But I think they're going to win. I if they don't make mistakes, if they don't turn the ball over, I think that they will win this game. I really do. All right, if you want to talk about that, give me a call. If you want to text the show, you can do so at 44-1140. If you want to follow me on Twitter, at Grant Napier Show, N-A-P-E-A-R. Huge day in Sacramento today, the ribbon-cutting ceremony with the former commissioner David Stern, Sacramento Kings owner Vivek Ranadive, Sacramento Kings president Chris Granger, Sacramento Mayor Kevin Johnson, and other dignitaries all on hand. Boy, it was great. It was great. It was absolutely a phenomenal morning. And then we all had a chance to go in to the beautiful Golden One Center. And I got to tell you, folks, it's special. It is a special, special venue. And we are so lucky that we are going to have an iconic state-of-the-art building. And that's exactly what it is. It is iconic. It is state-of-the-art. It is open. It's just beautiful. It is so awesome to be able to walk around the concourses and still look into the bowl of the arena. That's phenomenal. It's great. It's just the openness and the architectural design of this building, the lighting in the building, the LED lights, the scoreboard, the seats. It's awesome. Absolutely beautiful. And I can't wait until you get a chance to experience the beautiful Golden One Center, because it is beautiful, and make no mistake about it. So you'll get a chance hopefully tomorrow at the Fan Fest, or in the coming days at the Paul McCartney concert, whether you're talking about the 4th or the 5th, to see Paul McCartney. And I'm disappointed that I'm not going to be here to see the opening concert, because I would love to be there on Tuesday, but I will be with the Kings down in Anaheim. But I hope you are going. I really do. I hope you're on your way to go see Paul McCartney at the beautiful Golden One Center. Because how awesome is that going to be, right? I mean, how great is it going to be able to open up the arena with Paul McCartney? It's all here, folks. And there are many other events that are coming up in the next several week. Somebody says, Grant, I really hope we see impact defense from Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin. That's why I'm picking the Raiders. I'm looking at the offensive line for Baltimore, and I am looking at, you know, how the Raiders can attack that offensive line against an offense that does not score a lot. And so I think this is a good matchup this week. You know, they beat them last year out in Oakland. I think they're going to beat them this week in Baltimore. I really do. Somebody wants to know who the Kings play in their home opener. They play the San Antonio Spurs. They open up the season in Phoenix on the 26th, and then the very next night they play here against the Spurs, the official Sacramento Kings opening, meaning opening night. All right? That's going to be great. This is going to be fabulous. All right, so let me hear from you at 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Somebody says there won't be theater lighting at the Golden One Center, right? I believe that's correct. I believe that's accurate. And I haven't been in there when the lights are on in the evening, but yes, I believe that to be true. You know, today there was a lot of the natural sunlight was coming in, and it was just spectacular. It really was. It was absolutely spectacular. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. All right, again, if you want to call the show, you can do so. We are going to talk some college football in the final hour of the show. So make sure you stay tuned for that, because, boy, we got a lot of big games that we're going to be going over. We just previewed the Baltimore Ravens. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Cowboys with Rick Gosselin. the Cowboys insider host for the Dallas Morning News. So we're going to preview the Cowboys. They got a lot of issues. So we'll figure it out. We'll sort it out with Rick when we come back. The Grant Napier Show, Sports 1140, KHTK.